Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kelly S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Today is Tuesday, September 3rd, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are starting We Agnostics. I'm excited. So we're on the very first page, 44. First paragraph starts with, in the preceding chapter, reading through that one paragraph ending with, only a spiritual experience will conquer, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph, and I can't wait. So today's readers are 12 Steps, Susan G., 12 Traditions, Shelley C.R., Nick F. will be reading the text, hopefully Nadia E. will be reading page 164, and Danny P. might be our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Chris W., and our second hour host is Christine G. The reference number for yesterday, in case you missed it or want to hear it again, Monday, September 2nd, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 21705, 21705. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time was 21706, 21706. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA fifth tradition states, quote, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers, end quote. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I will now have Susan G. read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Susan G., Tennessee, recovered compulsive overeater. Grateful to be here. All right, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are: Step 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Susan G. And now I'll have Shelley C.R. read the 12 traditions of OA. Hey, Shelley.
Good morning. This is Shelley C.R. from Minnesota and the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group I'd never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Shelley C.R. All right, so here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share. We do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you'll press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are starting the We Agnostic chapter, page 44, first paragraph. It starts with, in the preceding chapter, reading through that one paragraph, only a spiritual experience will conquer. And Nick F. is going to get us started this morning. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, family. This is Nick F. in Tennessee, recovered alcoholic, recovering compulsive overeater. We agnostics. In the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. We hope we have made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If, when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if, when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. Do I go right into sharing?
Yeah, you share for 3 minutes, sorry.
Oh, okay. All right, Nikki up in Tennessee. I think this is quite funny that I would be reading this as the Big Book reader, We Agnostics, because I would dare to share hope with someone who may not believe in anything or who believed in everything that it failed. Because for me, in March 2021, I hated God. I hated myself, and I hated my kids. All hope, over 400-something pounds, wearing a 5X, about to be in a 6X. And I didn't like anything. Even the food had quit working. And just like this says, you know, if it be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. By that time, I had found one hand to put my hand in, and she began to tell me things like I wasn't bad trying to be good. I was so sick, and I so needed to get well. I had lost custody of my kids to drugs and alcohol, and I couldn't feed myself, and I couldn't feed them. And, you know, life just was very, very grim. But as this person began to share their experience, strength, and hope, I started to see the light. And I said, any power, you know, I had been a preacher before and I had gave up on preaching, and I just said, any power, please help me to not kill myself like this. And I don't know, but something powerful. It's a spiritual experience is what I now call it. It swooped in and it saved my life. And from that day to this, I promise I've given away over 250 pounds. I promise custody of my kids has been restored to me. And a lot of sanity has been restored to me. And around this part of the book, my sponsor helped me to start changing the words from alcoholic to thinking this issue is in my mind. You know, I'm sober from alcohol for 6 years, and I'm abstinent for 3.5 years, and the food is where it is, and the drinking is where it is, and now I get to look at my real thing, the thing with my thinking, and one day at a time, no matter how fine I look, no matter how well I sound, it's my thinking, and my thinking has to belong to God, and I can say God today. You know, I'll never forget somebody texted me a scripture years ago, and I bristled. And I said, look, don't send me no stuff like that. And now today I send hearts and I can have words to say back. And everything in my spirit and my mind has changed. My taste buds have changed. My thinking is changing. And I get to give service today. And for that, I am so, so grateful. And I just pray, you know, like I said, to somebody that still may be suffering, we get to hand all our thinking and whatever conceptions are no longer working, we get to start fresh and ask any power, please help save me from the food, and it will do just that. And so thank you for letting me share. And with that, I pass.
Well, perfect timing, Nick. All right, that was Nick F. from Tennessee. All right, so we are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day, in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please let others the opportunity to share today and keep your shares to 3 minutes. So who'd like to share?
Nicole S.
Rick J., North Carolina.
Ken W. H.
Elena C.
Okay, I have Nicole, Rick, Ken, and Elena. Who else?
Mary A.
Tony B.
Lisa B. in Denver, Colorado.
Lisa B.
Tony B.
I got you, Tony. Who is that, Marine?
Serene.
Serene? Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Marion H.
Marion H. All right. I think we'll stop there. That's a good lineup. So we have Nicole F., Rick J., Ken W.H., Elena C., Mary A., Tony B., Lisa B., Serene F., and Marion H. So everybody make sure you're muted. Press star one so we can have a nice quiet meeting. We'll get started with Nicole F., followed by Rick J. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Nicole S. from Colorado, and when I first read this chapter, I just ignored this many times because I'm like, I'm not an agnostic. And then when I really started studying it and thought, well, not being an agnostic, how have I been acted agnostically toward God? And this test right here, you know, when I honestly want to, I can't quit entirely. When I'm eating, I have little control over the amount I take. So it's like, check, check, yep. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm the real thing. And then it says, you know, I'm suffering from an illness, which only a spiritual experience will conquer. And I tried so many different ways to conquer it through my own self-will, self-help, different diets, different methods of just control, control, control. And nothing but God will conquer this. And it was only when I rightly related to God and thy will, not mine be done, and let him be in charge. And realize also that God really does care about my recovery, and he wants to help me, because if I'm not recovered, I can't serve him by serving others. And when I realized he really, really is there to help and wants to help and rightly related to him and have that spiritual experience for me, it was gradual. That's the only way that I finally was able to find recovery. And you know, one day at a time, God will conquer this illness, not cure it, but you know, it's a one day at a time thing.
Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thanks so much, Nicole F. from Colorado. Next up, Rick J., followed by Ken W. H. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Kelly. Thanks so much for your service. Good morning, everybody. My name is Rick J. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Cary, North Carolina, and I love this paragraph. You know, this is that sort of an epic defining paradigm shift for me when, after, you know, comparing myself to others, you know, like if others looked a certain way, if they had gained more weight than I had, there was a part of me that felt like that, you know, I didn't belong in OA. And, you know, then when I started identifying in with what was going on inside of me and what kept driving me to the food, you know, and the, you know, the binge exercising that I would do to try to counter the massive amount of calories I was slamming in, that feeling of hopelessness, you know, I realized that all I have to do is read this paragraph. And, you know, it's they make it clear, this distinction between the compulsive overeater and the non-compulsive overeater. So, and it's so simple for me. And it's telling me about the obsession of the mind and the physical allergy right here. So when I've given it everything I have to give, every bit of my willpower to stop, to not eat like this anymore, to stop the insanity, you know, of that vicious cycle, and I've given it everything, and I keep getting back into the food, then there's just that simple question. So when I really want to, and I'm really, really desperate, and I cannot stop when I start, or I cannot keep from starting, you know? So yeah, if I want to and I can't keep away from the food, that's the obsession, the mental obsession that's taking me to that first bite. And then the physical allergy kicks in, and then I have little or no control. I think they can just pop out the little. I have no control at all. Once I take that first compulsive bite, I have no control over the amount that's going to come next. But that's it. Then, you know, I have the mental obsession and the physical allergy. That's what it's telling me. And I cannot fix this. And that's step one, you know, and we all know, you know, we were just all into step one and getting into step two. Now we're diving really hard into step two. So if I'm powerless, this is a beautiful step to follow step one. If I'm truly powerless and my life is unmanageable, then only a power greater than me, greater than human power, can restore me to sanity. And that's the spiritual experience that we're going to find out how to do in here. Yeah, my defense
that's
must
time,
come from
that's
higher power.
Time.
And with that, I pass.
Well, thanks so much. That's Rick J. from North Carolina. So next up, we have Ken W. H., followed by Elena C. Good morning, Ken.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much. Excuse me. When I read this paragraph, I read humility into it, a great deal of humility. I notice that it says, if when you honestly want to find you can't quit entirely, or if when drinking you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. Notice that the text does not say you are absolutely alcoholic, no questions asked. It just says probably. It's just, in other words, no one else can tell me or define for me who I am or what disease I may or may not have. And then it says, if that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. Again, some humility there. You may be calling me out specifically, but just suggesting, if you will, that there's the possibility I have this thing. Well, today I know I have this thing. And the thing that I've had to learn, and this is not been easy for me, is that this answer works for me. The 12-step programs are designed around the principle of a higher power, a power outside of myself. And I embrace that, and I accept that, and I know that to be true for me. I'm not in a position to say that that's true for anybody else, or that everyone else who is a compulsive overeater is excluded from recovery because they don't think and believe the same way I do. I have embraced the 12 steps and the principles, the spiritual principles that underlie them all. Not everybody does, and they may go a different route, and that's okay. That's absolutely fine. And I'm not one to say that I have the only answer to the riddle of compulsive or addictive behavior. I don't. I just happen to believe that this process of the 12 steps works, and it has worked for me, can work for anyone who embraces it. It takes that embrace of what the principles are here for anybody, especially for me. I had to learn to embrace these principles and set aside my own. And so I have come to believe that a power greater than myself, something outside, that power has to come from outside, but it's within. And that's just for me. And that's all I have to share. Thanks.
Thanks, Ken. Where are you calling from, Ken? Ken, where are you calling from? Well, I should know, but I don't remember. So, okay, we'll move on.
North Carolina.
All right, thanks. All right, Elena C's up next, and then Mary A. Good morning, Elena.
Good morning, and he's North Carolina. I'm South Carolina, so it's Carolina's morning this morning. So my name is Elena C. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Greenville, South Carolina, and I want to announce with my visionary family, who's one is the most supportive community I've ever had in my entire life, that I'm getting married this weekend, and I am saying this because one of the biggest reason I'm getting married is because I have been in this program, and I have been working on my addiction, and not only the physical component, because you know what? It is not about the food. It's not about the food. It's not about the food. Of course, until it's about the food, and it's about the food. But for me, it's about all those things that were, you know, hidden in the form of, and what was shown in the outside of what I was doing by eating. And so those things from my personality that were created destructiveness in my relationship with the world and in my relationship with my higher power. And, you know, I was an agnostic, just like this chapter is saying. And with this chapter, we started dwelling deeper and deeper in the second step, which is a step of hope, because we are focusing on our amazing higher power and the healing experience that a relationship with a higher power is going to bring us. And, you know, and I know today, I know for a fact that if I were to take a pill to stop my appetite, which there are lots of those pills out there, I would have never had the life of my wildest dream, a life of my wildest dream, right? What would the pill gonna do? That pill was God for me. And what God did for me was giving me on the inside, an amazing experience of peace, comfort, safety, love, unconditional love, altruism, desire to help others and do well in the world. You know, and that's absolutely amazing. And this kind of experience can conquer my craziness, you know. And once my craziness on my head is conquered, then I will not pick up food. I will not pick up the food. I know this for a fact. Should I shy away from this amazing
That's time, Elena.
I'm going to pick up the food once again. And thank you so much for listening. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Elena C. from South Carolina. Next up, we have Mary A., followed by Tony B. Mary A., you're up. Where are you calling from?
Hey there. Good morning, everyone. This is Mary A. I'm calling in from Portland, Maine, recovered compulsive overeater, and really grateful to be here today. And thank you to everybody who has shared, and thank you, moderator, for your service. I love, there's so many paragraphs in this book that I love, but I love this paragraph. It is the bridge. It's an equation. If A, then B. So if I have become convinced in the preceding chapters that I am powerless over food and that my life is unmanageable, then I may have a condition that only a spiritual experience will conquer. And what I love about the way it summarizes step one is that it's the great equalizer for me. It gives two criteria that we heard from an earlier share. You know, if when I honestly want to, I find I cannot quit entirely. So that's the mental obsession. I've promised myself I'm never going to eat that substance again. And yet here I find myself eating it again, completely without my own permission. So that's the first criterion. And then the second one, if when I'm already eating, I have little control over the amount I take. That's the physical allergy. That's the what's set off when I ingest the substance and I set off the phenomenon of craving. And why I look at this as a great equalizer is that it's just these two criteria. It doesn't matter if I was 500 pounds or 90 pounds. It doesn't matter if I was over-exercising or sitting on the couch all day. It doesn't matter if it was this food or that food that caused me to have these two criteria, to meet these two criteria. And what I find so powerful about this is it takes away the argument of, well, I lost 40 pounds all on my own. Well, okay, how many times did you lose that 40 pounds all on your own, right? Like, yes, I can muster up self-will to a degree to address this disease, but self-will will always fail. And again, it doesn't matter if that's, you know, on the bulimia side of things or the anorexic side of things or on the obesity side of things. So when I'm looking at my own condition and when I'm looking at my own behavior, I only have to ask myself, do I qualify for these two conditions? And if the answer is yes, then I am probably a compulsive overeater / food addict, and probably only a spiritual experience will conquer, not mustering up my will, not screwing up my courage, no, a spiritual experience. So I better get ready to explore this idea of God and God as a power greater than me that can solve my problem. And with that, I'll...
Well, thank you so much, Mary A. from Maine. Next up, Tony B., followed by Lisa B. Good morning, Tony.
Hello. Thank you for your service, Kelly. My name's Tony. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland, and it's great to be on this meeting. I found I needed to do a lot of experimenting to really believe this. And, you know, I have been very sick. I've got this physical and mental illness. And it wasn't enough for me, though, just to read this or to learn it intellectually. I did have to do my own experimentation. And I got convinced after enough of that and after enough pain that I really do belong to this category of alcoholic, real compulsive overeater. And yes, physical and mental illness, my thinking takes me back to the first bite because my life feels unbearable without that ease and comfort and without the effect that the food produces. I've used the food to survive, for sure, to cope, to comfort myself, to escape the way I feel, which is and has been odd, strange. I've felt apart from, not like other people, certainly unusual mentally, not fitting in, and those bedevilments, you know, a prey to misery and depression and of no real help to myself, let alone others, and really no way to find a way of living that works. And the reader in the first chair has said it, you know, it's my thinking I need to that I need to change. It's not just my food behaviors, it's all of it. And that's why it's this spiritual experience that I need to conquer it. I can't just put it down. I've got the mental, I've got this spiritual malaise. There's no doubt that I'm a compulsive overeater, and there's no doubt that only a spiritual experience will help me. Yes, I was thinking of reading this. If one honestly wants to, I find I can't quit being selfish. I can't quit wanting what I want. Or if when I start to do that, I have little control over kind of where that takes me and the hell that takes me to, then I've got this thing. So for me, yes, and I appreciated that first share of how it goes. It's absolutely my thinking that needs changing. Oh, thank you for letting me share. I'll leave it there, and love you all very much. Thank you, family.
Thank you so much. Perfect timing, Tony B. from Scotland. All right, next up we have Lisa B., followed by Serene S. Hey, before we get started, Lisa, let me tell people where we are, in case everybody's forgotten like I tend to do. We are starting the agnostics, page 44, first paragraph. In the preceding chapters, reading through that one paragraph with only a spiritual experience will conquer. All right, Lisa B., you are up.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great. So, yeah, only a spiritual experience will conquer. God is the answer, period. End of story. I'm giving a talk going public with my addiction story on Thursday. Friday, I started feeling a lot of stress and strain and panic. This created a barrier between me and God, which is fear. That's when my faith comes into play. Knowing God is there for me, loving and supporting me, cheering me on, even when I don't feel it. People in the program remind me that God is there. The magic of picking up that phone and calling someone, because we're all geared toward having a closer relationship with our higher power, which I call God, no matter whatever it is to people that's bringing light and love into this world. To me, that's God. The illness, calling it an illness, means that it's not my fault. I didn't ask for this. It's not my fault, as society's stigma says it is. It's an illness. Its remedy is God. Having a conscious contact with Him. Friday, when I was emotionally freaking out, I ate my lunch, then went to a work potluck. When they brought out the cake, I had to leave. God works through my gut, through my intuition. I used to numb out that part of my body, my gut. Now I'm able to listen and act on His guidance. He told me, leave now. It was very irritating to see sprinkles on a cake, because sprinkles are like, they used to be heroin when I was little. So by God's grace, He has released 16 pounds from my body since May 17th. Only because by His grace in creating this design for living called the 12 steps, I believe God created this design for living. And with that, I'm grateful and I pass. Lisa B. from Denver. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa B. All right, next up we have Serene F., followed by Marion H. Good morning, Serene.
Oh, good morning. Thank you, everybody, for your service. I used to be so – I'm a recovered compulsive eater by the grace of God and a step study sponsor. I used to be so proud to be an agnostic. I thought it was a big word and not many people would know what it meant. And I got confronted by a friend who said, but where will faith come in? And I thought God didn't like me. And so I really thought that by – this is just hilarious – by one up on God and not believing in God, somehow that would benefit me. So, I had the grace of God come into my life by being introduced to, 12-step recovery, and being absolutely given a victory and conquering addiction. And when I say that, it's one day at a time. It's not all set and all done. For one day at a time, my desire to grow in God consciousness, to continue to conquer this disease that I have, is just something I am now proud of. And I didn't do it, and people say, well, I'm working on this or whatever. Yeah, I show up one foot in the front of the other one day at a time, but it's God's handiwork with me. And what I can see for myself is I don't want to take a bite to ruin the relationship that I have with a God of my understanding who has given me a faith that says, you can pick up something. You can have anything you want. And, go back or go even further down into your illness. But I choose God today. I choose recovery. I choose to be on the call because I don't want that. And everyone has said periodically, this is not for people who need or want it. It's for people that actually do it. And, if you're new, going through the steps, admitting that you're powerless, and then those two steps that follow, came to believe and then made a decision, you're beginning to conquer with God something that just, maybe hasn't worked in any other way. And I still laugh at myself when I see an ad for something, and I'm like, oh, that would have been so easy. But the truth of the matter is, it's easy now. It's easy now, and I love that this is a disease of thinking because I do the same thing. I turn it over to God, admit I'm powerless, but I don't stay stuck on step one. Conquering this now turns it over to a God of my understanding who I know is going to take care of me, and I let go of the results and the outcome because my God is so reliable. The work is so countable.
That's time, Serene.
Thanks so much.
Serene, where are you calling from?
New Hampshire.
Okay, great. Thanks. That was Serene F. from New Hampshire. All right, next up we have Marion H., and then we'll be taking some more names. Good morning, Marion. Where are you calling from? Marion, press star 1.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, hi, this is Marion H. from South Florida, Boynton Beach. Thank you very much for your service, moderator. If when you honestly want to find you cannot quit entirely, or if drinking have little control over the amount you take, you are probably an alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. And for me, that is God. And I'm so, so grateful that about approximately 40 years, I have never left these rooms. And I've been on and off a chronic relapser. And for today, I am not. I have a sponsor. I lost about 25 pounds. I don't know. I'm working with a sponsor. I'm very, very grateful. And I know the answers are in God and in the steps and in this awesome, awesome meeting of vision that I absolutely adore. And thank you for letting me share. After all these years, I still get nervous. And I love you all, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Marion. Thank you so much, Marion H. from Florida. All right, guys. So we are going to open the floor for more sharing. And again, remind everybody that if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, we ask you to please step back. So who would like to share on today's paragraph?
Erin K. from
KDG.
KDG from Boston.
Lisa B.
Laura L. from Connecticut.
Okay, let's stop there. Erin K., Katie G., Larry K., Lisa B., and Lauren L. All right, so Erin, get us started. You're up.
Morning, Kelly. This is Erin K., recovered compulsive overeater from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Good paragraph, guys. Lots in here. It's this term spiritual experience that is, sitting here thinking of. And, I remember being a newcomer and just not really understanding quite what that was. I certainly was in a place, where I really did honestly want to stop, and I could not. I spent almost 2 years in the rooms of OA going to meetings, honestly wanting to stop, and I could not. I felt like, the food would just take over and hijack my brain, and it was like, this inevitability that I was just going to eat. It felt completely out of my control, and it was. But I think I sat in that place for a while because I didn't want to accept, I think, that because I had, by definition, this paragraph is telling me, if I had come to this place, then there's only one solution, and that's having this spiritual experience. So what is that? So it's putting down the food entirely. It's not what I reach for when I have a fear or disturbance. It's no longer my God. And then I go through these steps, guided through with someone who's had the experience and can guide me through this process of change. It's a process of change. And what does it bring us? New freedom, new happiness. I stop trying to hide the past. In fact, I don't regret it. I experience peace. I see that some of the hardest things that I've been through in my life are useful to other people who are going through the same thing. I no longer feel completely hopeless, demoralized. I don't sit in self-pity when bad things happen. And I gradually, this process of change, I lose interest in the selfishness that kept me stuck. And I naturally gain interest in other people. My whole attitude and outlook on life will change. I lose fear of others' opinions of me, of, economic insecurity, losing the things that I have, of emotional insecurity. And I start to intuitively know how to handle situations that completely baffle me. And so, yeah, with that, I'll pass. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much. That was Erin K. from Michigan. Next up, we have Katie G., followed by Larry K. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G. I'm recovered in Boston, and Kelly, thanks for taking the meeting. Yeah, I mean, I find it so interesting, right, that it doesn't say which only a weight loss experience will conquer, which only a husband experience will conquer, which only some solution outside of me will conquer. And I think for me, the thing with my disease is ever since I was a little girl, I just felt like I didn't belong, right? I felt like I didn't belong externally, but I also felt like I didn't belong internally. Like there was no comfort in my, there was no permission to be me. And I just looked for human powers, right? I looked for anorexia. I looked for bulimia. I looked because I was willing to pay in the future so I could get relief from today. You know, and if you're not believing in God, remember, go back to step one, right? Because if I lack power, capital P, then there has to be a power greater than me. That's just the fact, is what I've been taught. And that has been really helpful. And I have been relieved of the obsession to starve, to hurt myself with food. But I have to continue, right? Like agnostic is, you know, I might talk about God, I might tell you about God, but then I'm going to play God in my life, right? I'm going to say, okay, well, my marriage should look like this. My husband should do this. And I'll tell you, there are two things that really solve my problem today as a recovered woman. One of them is asking myself, is God everything or is God nothing? What is my choice to be? Because if God is everything, then what is happening in my life is happening in and through God, right? And God is with me. And there's a surrender, right? That God is everything or nothing forces me to my knees and helps me to see that, like, ain't nothing I can do about this, right? Like, I can either surrender and accept or I can fight and I can hurt myself, right? The other thing that I find so helpful for this selfish, self-centered drunk with food is St. Francis of Assisi. God, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me so love. And the reason I'm saying that is because I'm a selfish, self-centered woman who wants to take you and put you into my body so I don't have to feel. And I'm going to tell you, if that's how you feel today, I promise you I don't. I am comfortable both within my skin with God and without. And when I don't go in, I go without. And I don't have to go out anymore. God is in me, God is around me, and I'm surrounded each and every day. I just have to seek him, and with that, I pass.
Great timing, Katie G. from Boston. All right, next up, Larry K., followed by Lisa B. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Kelly. It's Larry K., recovered compulsive reader from Chicago. Thanks for your service, Kelly. Thanks for all the shares, everyone. You know, what occurs to me is, you know, it talks about it, if that be the case, as we've heard, you know, then only a spiritual experience, only a spiritual awakening is going to be our solution. Is it possible to condition a person? Is there someone on the line that's been conditioned into thinking they are trapped? Because I was that person, and there are many others I've since heard. It is absolutely possible to condition a person into thinking they are trapped. When in reality, you know, freedom is easily accessible. We just have to do certain things. And the metaphor that I've always used is kind of as follows. I'm going to give you the shortened version. It involves an elephant, okay? And an elephant was attached, bound by a rope from birth. You know, that's how they, you know, for a circus or something, they put this small little elephant. And they tied a rope, and the elephant would do what elephants do, would try to pull away. And soon it realized it's of no use. Forget about it. You're not going to break free. It was too small to break free. Now, years later, the elephant is big enough. It weighs many tons, and it could rip the rope whenever it wants to. Do you know that all you need at this point is the elephant, this 3-ton elephant, to just feel just the glimmers of it? It could be a thread. It could be a tiny little rope. It could pull through that rope, no problem, and create mass destruction here among the people around. But it'll never try because it's been ingrained. It's been conditioned to believe that it's trapped. You don't have to worry about the elephant. How are you like that trained, conditioned elephant that believes that you're trapped? You're not trapped. If you're one of us, you've self-diagnosed, you have the allergy, you have the obsession, you don't have to be that trained baby elephant, right? You just have to trust the process. You have to trust the process, and we have to work the steps, and we will be brought into alignment with a higher power that you do not yet believe in. You take action after action after action of things that you do not yet believe in. I needed to know I can't be that baby elephant anymore. It was seemingly hopeless. It was a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, but it wasn't hopeless at all. I had to trust the process, and then, boy, I could fly like an eagle. I had to step to the precipice, to the edge, and jump off and trust. And then we soar. With that, I pass. Thanks so much, Kelly.
Well, thank you so much, Larry K. from Chicago. Next up, we have Lisa B., and probably a little bit of time for Lauren L. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. This is Lisa B., recovered compulsive overeater from Michigan. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Thank you for your service. Great analogy, Larry. For me, when I read it, the things that stand out for me, it says, if I honestly want to, only a spiritual experience will conquer my disease. And in the beginning, I thought I wanted to quit, but it was really that I just wanted the consequences to stop. I didn't really want to do anything, but, I wanted the consequences to stop of my eating. And I didn't get it for the longest time that God was the only one who could do anything to arrest my disease. I thought all I had to do was, like, once in a while throw up a little prayer, you know, when things were not going my way, and that he would take care of that, but that was it. Not that he could help me with everything like he does today. And one of the things that makes me want to continue with my recovery and do whatever I have to do to keep that is to have an active working relationship with a higher power. And if you had told me in the beginning that I would have the relationship that I do today with a higher power, I would have said you were crazy. Because when I first came in to recovery and they started talking about God, I'm like, this isn't for me. I'm out of here, you know. And today, one of the things that helps me stay here is the fact that if I go back into the food, it will separate me from God. And I never want to be separated from God again. And that's miraculous and amazing to me, because it just wasn't my experience in the beginning. I'm going to keep coming back. Thank you for letting me share.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, Lisa B. Thank you so much, Lisa B. from Michigan. So, Lauren L., you have 2 minutes.
Okay, awesome. Hi, good morning, everybody. Thank you, moderator. My name is Laura L. from Connecticut, and thank you for this time and for everyone's shares. I was just thinking, listening to everybody, that it wasn't only that I felt trapped and hating my insides and my outsides. Before I came into program, I came into program without a faith, without a belief in a higher power, and I worked the steps, and I didn't get better. And it still didn't dawn on me that there was only one solution for me. But I kept going. I didn't stop. I frustrated sponsors frustrated me. I was counting calories. My bulimia, my throwing up and spitting out, did stop, but I didn't see it as a miracle. I saw it as, okay, well, I'm embarrassed to be here and talking about this in front of me, so that's what's scaring me into stopping. I mean, I just came up with all these other reasons, because I couldn't comprehend a spirit or a power greater than myself. And eventually, after relapses and after working the steps very, very hard, and borrowing other people's space or thinking it could happen for them, the miracles happen for them, then there's got to be something else going on. I can't see love. I can't see I can't see these things, but they exist. And so today, 23 years later, I'm very happily abstinent. I have a growing relationship with my higher power every single day, who I call Goddess, and I'm neutral around food, and I'm working on my emotional sobriety every day. So it takes what it takes, and it's okay to be wherever you're at, and just keep coming. But not only keep coming, do the work, get a sponsor who has what you have, and just follow, because that's what I eventually ended up doing. And
that's time, Laura.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Laura L. from Connecticut. All right. Well, thank you to everybody who shared this morning. Great meeting. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, September 3rd, 2024, 21709. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Colleen M. has stepped in at the last minute, which I appreciate your service so much. And would you read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hey, good morning. Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditations what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answer will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Well, waiting for the recording to be stopped.